Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
My goodness. It's just so eye-opening when you look back. Mm-hmm. It's like, you think about it, even in the gospel where Jesus says, even the very elect could be deceived. So you know about a nation.
Yeah.
That's just minor.
Exactly.
Kingdoms
right.
come, kingdoms go. So it's, if you can be deceived over the gospel and over Jesus, then you know the deceiver will work hard trying to mess up your family and mess up your business and mm-hmm. mess up your nation. And you got to really pay attention. And so, like we always talk about, going to the original intent of the nation and find out what the founding fathers wrote in the final documents in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence, their final draft, and the original documents. Then we can go back to the Word of God and find out what Jesus wrote. And this, we were really surprised. We're going through right now the Constitution of the Church, you could call it that, mm-hmm. the original intent of the Church mm-hmm. with the Sermon on the Mount, the very first thing that God said through his son. He sat down on the mountainside and began to talk. God began to sit down. He sat down on the mountain and began to tell us. And it's so different than what you're hearing today. I mean, it's different. I mean, men who love God dearly, I know they love God. But it's like, hey, we're overlooking something pretty important here.
Pretty significant.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had to do away with something, do away with everything but the words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he comes. He's pretty direct about everything. There is no ambivalence, you know. I mean, people say, well, that's kind of rough. Well, Jesus said, gouge it out or cut it off yeah. if it causes you to sin. Mm. He said things, and we'll be talking more about it, but about how important it is to, you know, settle matters, settle them quickly, and how important it is to move in love and to forgive. And if we don't forgive, then he's not going to forgive us. And it's like, you know, how does that paradigm bit when somebody tells you that you can walk around with bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness, and your destiny is going to be like the person who obeyed God and loved God and did what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things that Jesus could have said, you know, he didn't say that when he became a source for eternal salvation in Hebrews, as we talked about earlier in the first hour, if you say a prayer, he said, a source of eternal salvation for those who obey me, who mm-hmm. obey my commands. I mean, think about that. That's just a paradigm shift, because so many people are, and I really believe they love God, and the more you live life, the more you realize you have to have God's mercy and grace, but we don't forego the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We just say, hey, I'm like Paul, and I have to have, I need more of grace than anybody else, but we got to say what he said. And Jesus, Paul's writing that Jesus became a source for eternal salvation for those who obeyed his command, who obeys his commands. And you say, well, how can that happen? Because Jesus told us how to do that in John 15. He said to abide with him, and he will, apart from abiding in him, all you have is a religious experience, possibly. But if you abide with him, he will empower you to walk in obedience to him. What's that mean? Walk in a love towards God. You're able to walk in love and worship, and your joy is complete. And the things we talked about, you can hear more about that in the first hour. But it's just a whole new revelation on the Constitution of the Church, the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm.
Of all the things that God could have said to us, it's the very first words, basically, to human beings that he created, creating his image and his likeness, was delivered through his son, Jesus, delivered through his son, and he said nothing and did nothing unless he heard the Father say it or saw him do it. So this is the creator of the universe. This is God who was with Adam and Eve in the garden, created mankind in his image and his likeness, told them to go forth and rule the world and be fruitful and multiply and all that. This is what he said. I mean, he began to talk about how we should live our life, some practical expectations of the creator who created us, in the environment and the people that we live amongst, that we have to do some practical things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's significant consequence, even eternal consequence, he talks about, for not walking in obedience. And somebody says, well, that's saved by works. No, it's not saved by works. But, you know, like James said, the brother of Jesus, he says, listen, you know, show me, you know, works without faith without works, and I'll show you works without faith. In other words, they just go together. They're one and the same. Your mm-hmm. faith is made complete by what you do. So when you have faith in Jesus, that means you obey Jesus. You love Jesus. You follow Jesus. You are his disciple. That's why you have faith. You have faith. If you truly have faith that he's the Lord, the leader in your life, then you're following the leader. You're actually finding out what his expectations are, his commands, his mm-hmm. word, and you're depending on him to empower you, but that is your agenda for the day. Your agenda for the day is to follow the shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not, you know, that's a peculiar thing to what's being taught today quite often, but it's not that peculiar. It's what he said. Read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, do you feel that check? I'm just like, yeah. Whoa, yeah. This is like major.
And this is the Sermon on the Mount.
That's the Sermon on the Mount, which is really the constitution of the yeah. church, you know?
Yeah. And we take it all in, and you're just like, man, this is the foundation. This is we got to get it on the inside of us. And I've heard you say it before, is the constitution is what we're made up of. This is what the church mm-hmm. is made up of. But if only 3% of the church is actually taking, 19% of the church is actually taking responsibility, according to George Barna, for actually reading the Word of God, and only 3% of that 9% are actually taking responsibility for their own spiritual development.
They're actually following it.
Yeah. Following it, how do we even know what Jesus' words were to us? I mean, listen, I've heard people say that the Bible, you know, the B-I-B-L is basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, it's mm-hmm. this is our instructions. This is wisdom. This is God's ways. And we need to know them if we're going to walk with him and live for him.
That's right.
And what's evident about that is by the way, you can't blame this on anybody. You can't say, well, it's because my pastor or because of my teacher
right.
or because of my brother, my mother, my sister, my whoever, or because of the nation I'm in. Listen, you stand alone before the throne of God. No witnesses or no suspects. That's why we're talking to you. You've mm-hmm. got to get this.
Mm-hmm.
This is an eternal get for you. You've got to get this.
I like that.
And yeah. it's important for you because you're going to be held accountable before the throne of God. That's how much, he loves you so much. That he's going to hold you accountable for the decisions that you made in this life. He thinks about you so much and loves you so much. He's delivering his truth to you to see what you're going to do. And then whatever you do with that truth, he's going to talk to you about it at the throne room. And he's going to say, you know, if you made him the Lord of your life, if you listened to him, if you worked on loving and worshiping and making your joy complete that we talked about in the first hour, you know, growing in obedience with the Lord, understanding that he makes you fruitful when you abide with him, then you show up at you're going to be like one of the sheep that he talks about. The kingdom of God is like this. In the day of judgment, basically, he's going to take all of his animals, goats on one side and sheep on the other, and he's going to say there's a difference between the two. Mm-hmm. Although they're both human beings, you have men and women on one side and men and women on the other side. You have people that lived in all different, you know, seasons of life and all that. But to the ones on his left side or one side, he's going to tell the sheep, he said, listen, well done. What does that mean? They abided. Yeah. They listened. Mm. They made it applicable to themselves because you're held individually accountable before God. And then they were fruitful. They took whatever God had given them and they invested it and they became fruitful with it. And they lived their life with grape stains on their hands and vineyard dirt on their feet. They understood that the reason why I'm here is to advance the kingdom of God, to make lovers of God, disciples of God through his son, Jesus Christ. But on the other side, it'll be people that live their lives for themselves, people who they may have been very religious because obviously when he talks about them, they were very religious, but they did not know God.
Mm-hmm.
They even talks about him in Matthew chapter 7. He says, many people are going to think they know me, but they don't, mm-hmm. even though they mm-hmm. moved in all these gifts. And it's so important to understand your gift means nothing other than you have a gift. It doesn't say anything about you. How you use it does.
That's right.
That's right.
And so many being promoted and lifted up by their gift, and they're thinking that they are their gift, and you're not. It's something that you just got given freely by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get those things twisted.
Right. And so you answer alone before God. And so we're talking to you, and today was really dedicated to speaking to you and encouraging you And don't look at other people and go, okay, this is where their life is, and kind of gauge where your life is, and mm-hmm. you know, all this latitude and longitude stuff, trying to see what you're measuring yourself by yourself and by men versus by Jesus Christ. He's the one we're to imitate. Where he's the one we're to, he's the Lord. Men are following God like you're following God. And they have their own journeys like you have your own journey. And they're going to be held accountable for how they respond to God like you're going to be held accountable. But the Sermon on the Mount, the original intent of the church, when you listen to it, and hopefully we'll get a chance to begin to share about it on VFN Radio, you're going to be so surprised. I believe there's a new veil being lifted off of, and it really just rebukes us mm-hmm. for what has been taught in the church, that we have left the teachings of Jesus, the expectations of God. And I want to encourage you to begin to just meditate and abide mm-hmm. with the words of God.
Yeah. Because when you're abiding, you spend time daily with God, you're hearing his voice.
Mm-hmm.
You're writing it down, and that word stays in your heart, and you can walk it out throughout the day. That's why we are always talking about abiding. Listen, if you're not spending time with Jesus, and you don't even know what Jesus is saying, how can we have it in our life and bearing fruit? And that's the one thing that God's called us to do, is to bear fruit, lasting fruit that's going to remain.
And you can do that through abiding with the Lord. But just think about it. Isn't it cool that you're hearing now that you're going to be held personally accountable for what you did with this Jesus?
Yeah.
And so it's important for you to know that he loves you. He has a plan for your life. His expectations of you is to love him and love the Father and to love others. And he talks about this in the original intent of the church.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things and man and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day.
Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. The Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything. All my compromise, where I bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me. Cleanse me. Be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I think, you know, you want to be open to the fact that maybe, that America's problem, if you traced it out and you pulled out the DNA like they do nowadays and put it on a strand and you separated the T's from the H's and the G's, and, you know, John, you can explain that later, that, you know, the proteins and all, it would track down to say, aha, we found out it's not the butler who did it, but it's the church who did it. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing about it is that when you find out who did it, then, you know, you can, you know, bring justice.
Right.
Well, with the church, you know, men in general, outside of Jesus Christ, you know, we're all in trouble and we've all sinned and fallen short. But with Jesus Christ, God served justice on his Son. Mm-hmm. So when we find out that it's God's people, we've sinned and we've fallen short, and that we can not just say, I'm sorry, but we can repent. Mm-hmm. And let me give you a great, simple analogy of repentance. You're 10 years old and your mom has been telling you to make your bed now for the last 30 days. And she goes in there and she sees your bed unmade. And she tells you to make your bed and you don't. And then she comes back the next day and she says, of course, I guess you slept again last night because it's I don't know. She doesn't really know whether the covers moved or not because they look the same as they did the day before. And she says, I told you, make your bed. And she comes back the third day, and again, she doesn't know if they even moved or not because the socks are still on the floor. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'll tell you what, you know, today, you know, you're going to have to, when you get home from school, you're going to have some consequences because I told you to make your bed, and you didn't make your bed. Oh, please, I'm sorry. Oh, I'll make my bed and all this kind of stuff. And because there's consequences, you know, the child, you know, says, well, I'm going to make my bed up. And then the child makes their bed up, and then she lets them off the consequences. She doesn't give them the consequences. Mm-hmm. What happens the next day after that? It's unmade again, right? Because repentance is this. When God says, make your bed up, because not having a made bed, just as an analogy, is sin. Mm-hmm. First of all, your heart's broken for the fact that you sinned against God. You feel remorseful about the fact that I didn't realize God wanted me to make my bed. And but now you're aware of it. And then you go, I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to make my bed up. And so when God sees my life, he's going to see, you know, tight sheets and pillows in the right places and 45 degree angles is probably Pat's, you know, 45 degree angles.
That's Steve's.
You know, Steve's, you flip a quarter probably off of Steve's what you did in the military. But then you know, hey, I'm making my bed because God wants me to make my bed, or, you know, my mom wants me to make my bed, and this is pleasing to my mother and this is pleasing to God. And you may even struggle with, oh, times are rushed, I don't know what to do. But even in the midst of that, knowing that you could just walk out and not make your bed anymore as a child, that you still adjust your life accordingly. I'm going to need to get up earlier. I'm going to need to include in my life, you know, time to be able to make my bed. I need to not get a wrong viewpoint of this. My mom's not hating on me. She knows what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And she, because she loves me, she's telling me I need to learn discipline in my life or whatever it is. And God's doing the same thing. And so we're not doing it out of some sort of works or resentment or I'm just trying to please God here. I'm just trying to make my mama happy. It's like, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, I can just make my, I need to make adjustments in my life to mm-hmm. obey God. So repentance for the church, when we see that, hey, we trace this down and, you know, the world has nothing to do with God's people, nothing whatsoever to do with God's people. It's God's people who God has a relationship with, and he loves all people. Mm-hmm. But those that have chose to be his, when we walk in rebellion to him and turn away from him, he allows things to happen to be able to bring us back to him. And what he wants from us is us to make our beds. He wants us to repent. And so right. there's a lot of situations going on right now where, you know, people are saying words like, I'm so sorry, I should have made my bed. I should have made my bed. And there's people making their bed for a day, you know, making their bed for a day, but then they go back to their same way of life. But what God is looking for, you know, God is looking for, you know, us to be able to walk out repentance. And so the hope for America and the hope for the church is us making our beds. That's what repentance is. It's so simple, but it's pretty, it's what you have to do is die to yourself, and because the kid didn't want to make it, it's bad. The kid just didn't want to do it. But then the kid had to say to themselves, listen, it's not all about me. And I don't know everything. And I need to honor my mother. And if I love her, I'll honor her. If I love God, I'll honor God. You know, God says, if I'm your father, where's my honor?
Right.
And so it becomes out of love because I love my mother. Because I know she knows things. My whole frontal lobe hadn't developed yet. I'm 10 years old. I don't even have, I don't have no grip of reality yet. I have no experiences. And with God, I mean, you'll never figure God out. You know, you can ponder him and search his awesomeness, but it just goes on and he goes on and on and on and on. So you just have to believe that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and he understands why he's told us in his word to do this or not to do that. Does that mean we never have an unmade bed? No, but it's a bump in the road. It's not a bump in the road. It's an anomaly. It's something that doesn't happen continually in your life. You know, it's not like it was at one time when you know, not only was your bed unmade, but you enjoyed having it unmade. You never thought about making your bed. But now you realize if you do sin, that you're broken for it, and you go to God and you confess it, and he forgives you of your sin. But to go on sinning and not turn from it is not to be repentant of our sin. It's very simple. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent, turn from their own wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. And so what he's saying is, you know, you can cry all you want to. You can put as much money on the altar as you want to. You know, you can read your Bible as much as you want to. You can do all these things you want to. But when you get up from that place of prayer and that place of brokenness, if you're not making your bed, I'm not going to heal this land. Period. So then we're like the 10-year-old kid. We have to realize I've been selfish, narcissistic, and wanting to do things my own way. And how can I criticize a 10-year-old kid when I myself have been wanting to do things my way? And just because I was an adult, you know, I just started making all these rules to everybody, and it's like, I just do it my way.
Uh-huh.
You know, and here you are, like a 10-year-old kid, getting rebuked by your father for not repenting, not making your bed. And so with that, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning that as people are praying and crying and doing all the things we need to do, mm-hmm. if it's all said and done.
Right. You just got to continue to seek God and repent. We got to acknowledge the fact that, you know what? It's time to make the bed. It's time to do what God's called us to do. And it's, you know, complaining, feeling bad, feeling sorry, like you said, it's just not going to cut it. At the end of the day, what matters is that did we make the bed?
And that's my really concern, because we know how to be feel bad.
I mean, right. we've got that down pretty good, don't we? It's easy to feel bad. It's easy to feel, you know, sorry when the consequences are meeting us.
Even a drunk knows how to feel bad over a toilet when they're, you know, they're saying yeah. more things that somebody would say because they're miserable and they made a mistake, sure. they're suffering, you know.
Right.
So that's not the key.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is wanting to please God.
Right.
And my concern is that sin has become something that's not sinful.
Mm.
There's people prophesying things that make people feel comfortable in their sin. Mm-hmm. They're saying, let me lay hands on you and prophesy over you. And it's like, that man's in sin. You better get right. your hands off of him. Because if you say that you heard from the Lord and you lay your hands on that man and he's in sin, and when you step off, he's going to believe that God was pleased with the sin. He's going to stay in it, and God has something to say about you.
Mm-hmm.
False prophets, you get your hands off God's people. Mm-hmm. And quit saying, thus saith the Lord, when people were in this open sin.
Right.
You understand if you're you don't know anything about that man's life, and you walk up and you laid hands on him and you said, like God said, never say, here's an oracle from God, and you deliver the oracle from God from them, like so he's some local God, some local situation, and now he's you know because you're out of your own head, and because you're coming out of your own flesh, and because you're coming out of your own will and your own motives, you just sentence that guy to think that God is okay with a sin and he's going to burn in hell because you said, thus saith the Lord. Listen, the problem is sin is no longer sinful in the minds of so many people in American churches. Really, I mean, you got to pay attention because you got to remind yourself, oh my goodness, this is sinful.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say, this is sinful.
Right.
That's why when you're prophesying over people and you're moving in your gift, that you need to be aware of who their pastor is and their shepherd is and work with them in understanding that they are under a shepherd,
right,
for a reason, right. And you need to and they know where that person is. They know what's happening in their life, and they're going to have to pick up all the pieces when you walk away and prophesy out of your own head or your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to understand, if somebody is, for example, in the mafia, they're in some drug cartel or something, and they're killing people, and you walk up and you lay hands on them and you begin to prophesy over them, and it does not cause them to be acknowledged. What you say to them does not make them aware of their sin.
Mm.
And it makes them comfortable in their sin. It doesn't even bring it up, and it causes them to feel better about where they are in their life. I mean, Jeremiah 23 talks about you. God talks about you in Jeremiah 24.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't even want to hear it. He says, He says, and he says, and so right now we've got to hear a word about, Lord, help us turn from our sin. Help us repent.
Amen.
You know, marriages are out of order. Families out of order. Finances are out of order. Choices of what comes into our eyes are out of order. Relationships are out of order. I mean, which means sin. These are things, unmade beds. And people are going, let me prophesy over you. Let me prophesy. It's like, prophesy. When you finish, I better feel convicted if I'm in sin. Because if mm-hmm. I don't feel convicted, you know, lovingly convicted, that if I'm not drawn closer to God, you know, when this finishes and I just feel more comfortable in my rebellion and my idolatry of self,
mm-hmm.
you know, stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop preaching messages and prophesying over a nation of believers in the church that causes us to feel comfortable in our sin. We don't listen. If you really loved us, you're going to help us in love, and you're going to speak words that you're hearing from God that lines up with his word, that when you're finished, I understand a loving God loves me, but I'm going to have to deal with the sin in my life. And if I will go to the cross, God will forgive me for that sin, and I'll be in right relationship with God.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. The Coffee House. If you're looking for a great cup of coffee in a warm setting and nice leather chairs, they even have a fireplace. Freshly made sandwiches. Also, if you're looking for a place to meet or business meetings, they have a great place for you. Go visit them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop. With over 25 years of experience, no job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, it's been, you know, I've been serving the Lord for some time now. I guess it's 1986 when I had just God called my name. You can find out more about that at meetmyfather.org, where I share my testimony. I was a deputy on the streets. But it's amazing. The more you walk with people and you walk with the Lord, and it's like some people are just like seasonal. They're like they're on fire for God, you know, and they're saying they're ready to go after God. But, you know, after 5 years or maybe 10, but normally five, you mm-hmm. know, I know that others, you know, have said, you know, around 5 years or something, you know, we get mm-hmm. tempted to just kind of lay back and just kind of, you know, coast if you could. And really, I believe that you're never sitting still. You're either going back or going forward. There's no sitting still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we're supposed to, so people look at you shocked when they go, "You're still preaching the gospel?" Yes. Why would you ever change? We're going right. to see the Lord. I mean, every second of life we have left, you know, we're not going to, we want to do everything we can for him because he laid down his life for us. And we'll spend eternity mm-hmm. pondering why we wasted one moment on anything else but him, because we'll have eternity to think about these few uh-huh. years that we have. You know, I think about Steve Hill. Remember when Steve Hill was talking about that, and he was talking about people coming up to him as well and saying, you know, they're talking about laying back. It's not time to lay back. It's time to lean forward. Listen to Steve. I'll be right back.
They say, people come up and say, "You haven't changed. You haven't changed." It's because that seed, if it's an apple seed, that's going to produce an apple, okay? And Steve Hill, and I can see Peter Wagner, is not going to get out there and in midstream go, "You know something, it's been good."
No.
It's been good, but there's a whole different avenue, and there's a whole different teaching that's coming down the pike. And I want to be a part of that.
Listen, you know, religion is hard, but like Steve is saying, it's not time to sit back and just and pause and say, "I'm not going to do anything." It's time to quit being religious and do it in a way that's just natural. And let's enjoy this thing called the kingdom of God. Let's enjoy each other. Let's be family and love each other, love God, and lead other people to love God. It's not as hard as religion. You can't keep on carrying on a huge, you know, big traditional thing and physically sustain that, but you can just love people and love God and lead others the same. It's not that complicated, is it?
Right. No.
If that's you, if you wanted to continue, you know, you thought about giving up, you thought about saying, "Hey, I'm just rest on what I've done," or you're thinking maybe that you're beyond use in your life. You are not. As long as you have breath, as long as you love God, as long as you love others, listen, you know, you are a servant of God. You're a minister of God. Everybody is called to minister. Maybe you're called to relate to us or another network, maybe Chase Network or another network. But find out more at Vine Fellowship Network. That's VFNFamily.org. VFN, that's a V as in Victor, VFNFamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. But right now we have so many feel-good, everybody is a friend of a man who gives gifts. Stimulus packages.
Yep.
Of course, everybody's your friend if you call yourself a prophet. And every time you lay hands on somebody, you go, "And then I see you walking, you know, on gold." And then I
in a mansion,
and I see, you know, that you've been struggling, and that and that but God sees your struggle and is like, and welcome to all of us.
Yeah, right.
it's like guessing your weight at the fair. You're thinking he'll never guess my weight. he goes like, how did you do that? Oh my goodness. I thought this shirt hit it. It can never guess Pat's weight. It can never guess Pat's. We got to check this blousing thing out.
It's the blousing.
Yeah, we got to check this blousing thing out to see if it works. Oh, he may not blouse again. It's like, he may find out it doesn't work. No, but seriously, that is very frustrating for people who love God and love people who want to see them people be forgiven of their sin. They want to see people set free. When you keep on, every time they see you, then here comes a good word. I mean, Ahab loves you. I mean, oh my goodness. Come and tell me some other reason why me not taking the keys of my life and running things the way they're supposed to run. Don't tell me. Oh, yeah. And if you give them a true word, it's like, they're like stomp out of the room. I can't lie. Always give me a bad word, Elijah. It's like, well, no, just kind of, you know, telling you like it is, you know. Right. God loves you.
Someone once said, did you get a good word?
Yeah,
it's like, hello. Every time God speaks is a good word.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, and the thing is that this is what he says. This is what he says. And read, take a little time, the other people that are not 17%, because only 17% read the Bible, according to George Barna, 18%. But I think it moves, isn't it? 16, 17, 18, under 20. 19. 19. There he goes. When are we in? So the 80%, pause for a moment. Don't read anything, but just read Jeremiah 23 and 24. Just read it. And understand that now, since we're in this condition that we're in as a nation, as the church, now not as the people who are not walking with God, not the people that have like statues in the wilderness that are burning, the Burning Man people, and none of that stuff. But the people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, who have said that they've actually accepted them as their Lord, who understands, you know, the family of God, that, you know, you're wanting to walk with God, that we need, if we got to repent, we need somebody to talk to us and be real with us so that we can make a decision. Somebody needs to come into our lives and say, your bed's unmade. Make your bed. Mm-hmm. You know, we need somebody, but it's important this, the truth and love, we need... You know,
not to tell us what our itching ears want to hear with the Book of Acts.
There shouldn't be one ear that itches in America right now. I mean, there should be not. Everything's been, there's nothing, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, with that, you know, we speak the truth in love. L.A. Joyner, I had a prophet come to his church in Georgia, and he was just really, you know, harsh. And he finished up and talking to an L.A. was pastor in the church then, that church. And the prophet looks at him and says, yeah, he says, why do you talk that way, basically, to the guy? And he goes, well, because I'm a prophet. And he says, no, you talk that way because you're mean. And so I'm not talking about being mean, because first of all, it's not going to work, because people respond by love, but you got to be the kindness and the sternness of God. You got to say, this is bad, but God loves you. This is bad, but you can repent. There is justice. Yeah, but justice was served on Jesus Christ. We can cry for justice, but it causes us to run for the cross before the hammer lands on a nation. I mean, go to VFN TV and watch No One Cries for Justice. It'll give you a perspective that justice is putting things back in order again. It's making beds up. But with that, we have to get under the blood. We have to deal with our own personal sin, or the hammer will land on us. And God served justice. He dealt justice. He dealt with it once and for all through his son. And those who actually run to him and deal with their sin, our sin, at the cross of Christ, and accept the price that he's paid, and walk away with made beds, you know, don't walk away with messed up covers, you know, as Juanita Bynum says, no more sheets.
Right.
you know, walk away with saying, you know what, I'm going to learn. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to learn how to make beds the way Jesus has made beds. I'm going to walk my life out. I'm going to be discipled. And so I can live a life that's free from sin. And if I do sin, it's not going to be something that I desire to do. And if I do, you know, if you hadn't listened to, was it called the product? What's the pigs?
Prodigals are coming home.
And it talks about the difference between a sheep and a pig. That is a big difference. It doesn't mean we're not going to get dirty. We're going to sin, but it's not going to be something that stays continual in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And the goodness of God in us will empower us to walk out the good things in this life that causes other people to look at us and give God glory and not us, because there's no one good but God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
The orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing. It transferred.
It never happened until it happened.
Thank you for that contribution.
Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share
We're
them
just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? It's like,
Till,
that's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student, yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context
of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar.
I know. Didn't she come from the... Anyway,
go ahead.
Okay, so back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say them.
Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
You know, okay. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
It's
croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote. Very
Let's
serious
get in the serious
quote.
Mode.
Yeah, I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, okay. So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, guys, of all the things that Jesus could pray for, the disciples could ask Jesus to help them with, they ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray.
Mm.
I mean, of all the things they could have asked the Lord, they said, teach us to pray. And the Bible tells us that oftentimes, you know, Jesus was early seeking God and on, you know, by himself. Mm-hmm. And they had to be looking at Jesus's prayer life. They had to be looking at, you know, what the Lord was doing and with his time. I mean, they saw the signs and the wonders. They saw the miracles. They saw the multitudes. They saw Jesus teaching with power and authority. But they also saw how Jesus would be by himself in the morning in prayer. So much so, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Matthew 18, 18 says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, but he also gave them and gives us today authority. The authority we have as a believer, as a son and daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our Savior, we have the ability to pray, and we have the authority in Jesus' name. And in Luke 10, 19, he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing, no thing will harm you. Mm-hmm. And so I think oftentimes we can forget that God has given us authority. Authority to pray, authority to transact kingdom business. And you look at what was happening in Acts. I mean, this is like the first moments of the church being recorded. Mm-hmm. And it's just so beautiful to see what they did with what the Lord gave them. I mean, God, you know, Jesus poured into them for 3 years. And now they were walking out everything that he had taught them. And they were obeying his word. But we find that in Acts 12, verse 1, it says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Now think about that. Here is this wicked Herod.
Yeah.
He is arresting the church. And with all the intention now of persecuting and doing them harm. Now, get this. In the second verse, he says he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. So already, I mean, these are not empty threats, but we already know that he had James already put to death. This was a really serious thing that was going on.
Yeah.
And this is not good. And so he also saw that it pleased the Jews, so he proceeded to seize Peter also. Now, think about this. I mean, here's a church being persecuted. Things are happening. And sometimes, you know, people wonder how come bad things happen. It's like, listen, in life you're going to have good stuff. There's going to be some bad stuff. And don't forget that the enemy is loose on the earth today. His plan is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so God wants us. God has equipped us. He's given us the ability to pray. He's given us the ability to touch heaven. He's given us the ability to bind on earth, to loose, right? Mm-hmm. And to you know, transact kingdom business. And so God allows us to do this. And you ask, you know, why did God allow this? Well, you know, God has given the earth to us for man to rule. He's given it to us to rule. You know, the Lord oftentimes will not make a decision for us. He requires that we invite him into our affairs, that we invite the Lord into what's going on. He doesn't control us, right? He will not act oftentimes in an area that he has already empowered us to do. He's already given us the authority. He's already given us the ability to pray. And he wants us to exercise that authority that he has given us. He wants us to exercise it. He doesn't want us to become spiritually lazy.
All right.
Right? But he wants us to go in the place of battle, in the place of prayer, and to deal with the enemy. Because the enemy, like we said earlier, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And what we're talking about is the authority of the believer. You know, all authority was established with God. And you look back at the Bible, and you look in the Bible, that God gave that authority over to Adam, right? God gave that authority to Adam, and Adam lost that authority. He lost the keys when he fell into sin because of Satan, him and Eve fell into sin. So God had the authority. He gave the keys over to Adam. Now, mm-hmm. now Adam lost the keys to Satan, and Jesus, who's the second Adam, had to come to restore all things, right, and to regain the keys that the enemy stole. And God gives us that authority today.
That's right.
He gives us that authority today. And so we need to be vigilant in prayer. So in verse 4, Peter was arrested. He's put into prison, and he's guarded by 16 guards, and he's locked up in chains.
Wow.
And Herod intended to bring him to public trial after the Passover. So Peter's in trouble. He already knows that James was already killed by the sword. Mm-hmm. And here there's 16 guards, you know, guarding over Peter. But verse 5, I love this verse. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him.
That's right.
But the church, my goodness, there's nothing like the praying church. There's nothing like when believers get together and they say, I am going to pray for you. And they mean it and they do it. And God answers as a result. The church was praying. They were operating in authority, and they were not going to let Peter go down.
That's right.
They were praying. The power of prayer, the authority of the Lord, the authority of the believer. I mean, the word tells us that we've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all, not some, all the power of the enemy, and no thing will harm you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they prayed. So they prayed, but in verse 7, this is what happened. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist.
Mm.
You're talking about divine intervention. You're talking about the supernatural. You're talking about prayer that released angels, right? Mm. An angel to actually escort Peter outside of this prison. And so he was kind of a little bit confused. He didn't know what was going on, Peter, but he just followed. Mm-hmm. He gets out in the middle of the road, and this is Peter's confession. This is what Peter says. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. So here you see the church was praying. Peter gets free, mm-hmm. supernaturally. This is divine.
Yeah.
Supernaturally. And so he, in verse 12, he begins to walk to Mary's house, right? The mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and where they were praying. Now in verse 13, it says, Peter knocked at the outer entrance and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door. Peter's
it's
at the door.
Shock.
You know, and of course, this, they encouraged me, you know. You look at the book of Acts, you see all these signs and wonders, and you think these were holy people. They were so perfect.
Right.
Oh my goodness. They, you know, these guys walked with Jesus, you know. They're human just like all of us, you know. And what was their response? This great prayer service that was happening there. What was their response? they said, "You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. What are you talking about? Now you're praying that God would touch Peter, that God would intervene,
right.
that God would set Peter free, right?"
Makes you wonder. Were they praying with faith, or just out of their heads? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know how it is. It's just praying, you know. And this is the thing when you're praying that sometimes you try to pray your will or how you think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
you kind of plan it out. You just want to pray, God, your will be done and let God do what he's going to do. Don't project on how it's going to happen. And I think that's the temptation we all have to say, well, Lord, I just pray. And we try to pray with some reasoning and some logic according to us, but we don't pray, God, you lead, I follow. You lead, I follow. And I'm not even going to begin to tell you what the steps are. I'm just going to go ahead and follow. And I believe it's probably the temptation that they probably face in this moment, because they were shocked that she said, get you out of your mind. So when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. It can't be Peter.
Can't be Peter.
Shh, stop praying. Stop praying. Peter's at the door. No, he's not there. Verse 16, but Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord brought him out of prison. I mean, can you imagine the roar? Shh, let me inside here.
Right.
And he testified on how they, moving in authority, praying, God heard their prayer. Let me tell you something. The power of a praying church, the power of the believer that knows that they have been given authority by God, and they pray in faith, watch and see what happens. Watch and see what happens. I'm telling you that this encourages us to know that God, you know, when we obey God, you know, he partners with us. He partners with us when we pray according to his will. And I'm just so encouraged by that, because it's the authority that the Lord has given us. And when we execute that authority, when we function in the purpose that God's given us, then things happen.
That's right.
On earth as it is in heaven. And can you imagine the testimonies that came after that? All of a sudden, he was banging on the door, and it was Peter. We told Rhoda she was out of her mind. We told her, I don't know what happened. But God set Peter free. The authority of the believer.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today. To dine in or to take out, you can have your meal on the go. It is good. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.